Morning, church.
Good morning.
How's everybody?
Thanking the Lord for a wonderful life, a great wife, praying for world peace, and praying for people around the world whose lives are changed by the ravages of war
Amen.
And strange weather.
Amen.
Amen.
We've missed that the past couple weeks there, Dave. Lisa had to take your place a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah, she did pretty good, actually. So this morning, I want us to look at a few verses from John chapter 11. It's a story of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, three people who Jesus loved and three people that dearly loved Jesus Christ. So as we go through this story, I want us to see how it relates to all people. And although the story tells of these three that have already trusted in Jesus as their Savior, it relates as well to those who have not yet trusted in Him or come to Him. So we're going to look at that. Excuse me. Let's start with John chapter 11. Pick up in verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was the Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Verse 1 relates this sickness. Let's relate this sickness to a spiritual sickness rather than a physical sickness that Jesus was coming to Lazarus for. And just for a little FYI clarity here, Luke chapter 7, verse 44 backs up verse 2 that we just saw. And it says, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair. It's the same Mary we're talking about here, okay? So let's continue on. John chapter 11, verse 3. So the sisters sent word to him saying, Lord, behold, him whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not to end in death, but for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by it. In the same way, guys, listen, in the same way, we send word to God through our prayers for people that don't know Jesus. We pray for them because we love them. We care for them. We can say to God, Lord, this one you love is sick. We don't want their sickness to end in a spiritual death. And we know you love them. And we truly hope that through God's mercy and our prayers, that their spiritual stubbornness will be dissipated, that they'll see, that they'll open up to Jesus Christ, and that they don't end being separated from God. That's a terrible thing to think about. Verse 5. Now, when Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. God absolutely loves those who belong to him. But listen, God is not a one to sit back and say, you know what, I'm just going to wait for these people and see what they do. Maybe they'll show up, maybe they won't. He's a God that goes after people. He seeks out people. He draws people to himself, right? Listen to John 6:37. Jesus said, all that the Father gives me. Okay, listen to that. All that the Father gives me. This tells us God is seeking people. He's not sitting back and waiting. He's seeking, but he is waiting for people to recognize what Jesus Christ has done. And Jesus said, the one who comes to me, I certainly will not cast out. God calls everyone. He seeks everyone. He seeks those who will respond when he calls. He seeks those. And when they do respond, what does God do? He opens their heart to understand about Jesus. And Jesus himself says, this person now understands about me. I welcome them with open arms. It's awesome stuff. How can you not understand how much God loves us? Now, John 11:7. After this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Again, we see right here, Jesus is always willing to come to people. Many times we can see through the Bible, not here, not only here. Jesus was saying, let's go to this city. Let's go to that city. Let me go and preach the word of God. Jesus was seeking people. He was out there preaching the word. You know, he was seeking people willing to come to him. He was seeking for people that didn't yet know him. He's always seeking. He's still seeking. He's always willing to come. He's still knocking and knocking and seeking. Listen, Jesus just does not come once. He doesn't come once and knock on the door. Nobody answered. Gotta go. No, that's not our Savior, right? He continually knocks. He continually comes. But listen, never will he force himself on anyone. Never will he force himself through somebody's front door and say, hey, why haven't you answered the door? Never will he do that. He waits for people to patiently come to him, but he's still seeking and knocking and calling. Let's jump down to verse 11. Then he said, this he said, and after this he said, our friend Lazarus had fallen asleep, but I go so that I may awaken him out of sleep. The disciples then said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep. So Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead. And I'm glad for your sakes I was not there so that you may believe. But again, what does it say? Jesus said, let us go to him. Okay, let us go to him. Spiritually sick people, physically sick people, we pray for them, right? Jesus goes, Jesus seeks. We know that. Verse 11, notice what he said. This kind of has a double meaning right here. And I want us to look at it. What else he said in verse 11? So I may wake him from sleep. There's a whole world of people who are still alive and still living, but they're asleep when it comes to Jesus Christ. Their eyes are closed to everything he's done. Their ears are closed to everything he's taught and everything he said. He desires to wake people up. Tell them, look, this world is a temporary place. I want you to wake up. I want you to come to me. Jesus, he desires us so much. I want you to belong to me. That's what Jesus is saying. Now listen, on the other hand, okay, the Bible tells us that we who belong to Jesus Christ, when we physically die, the Bible says Jesus and God consider us only to be sleeping. Because we will awake one day in glory.
Amen.
Amen. Double amen. Triple that amen. Right? We're going to have that spiritual life eternal in Jesus Christ because we belong to him. We belong to him through baptism. We're going to wake up with him one day. But again, Jesus is calling out to those people who don't know him. Wake up. Wake up. This place is temporary. All right? Verse 14, listen. Those who don't belong to Jesus Christ, verse 14, scary. Those who die physically also die spiritually. God calls them dead. Not asleep, dead. They are dead to me. He has said that a few times in the Old Testament about people having hardened hearts, saying, these people are dead to me. Guys, how terrifying does that sound? This is God Almighty. And when he's saying that someone is dead to him, that's terrifying stuff. Look at Revelation chapter 3, pick up in verse 1. I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Listen, Jesus is saying, you believe you're okay. You believe you're okay because you consider yourself, maybe you consider yourself a good person. You consider yourself alive, you're doing great things. And you're thinking, okay, that's enough. That's all I have to do. I have to be this good little person. And God will know that I'm this good little person. But what he's really saying, Jesus is saying, that's not enough. Wake up. Strengthen yourself spiritually while you still have a chance to do so. He's telling us that, right? Come to me before you physically die. Come to me so you could be made complete. That's what he's saying right here. I want you complete. I want you to live with me eternally. I want you there. One way, you know, a lot of times you go someplace, right? And what are you doing here? You know, Well, I was invited. Now, what are you doing here? We're all invited. Jesus Christ is inviting us. He's all inviting us. And he wants everybody. No, Jesus will never come to the gate of heaven and say, what are you doing here? Unless you don't know who he is. Okay. John 11:17. When Jesus came, he found that he'd already been in the tomb 4 days. When we pray for people we love to come to Jesus, it seems like we've been praying for an eternity, right? We've been praying and praying and praying for them to come. But to God, it's only been a short time. He's still waiting. He's still waiting. We don't want those people. God doesn't want those people to be found sleeping in a tomb when he comes back. He does not want that. Jump down to verse 20. Martha, therefore, when she heard Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary stayed at the house. Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do we believe that, church?
Yes.
Thank you. Can we do that a little louder, church? Do we believe in that?
Yes.
Of course we do. All right?
Yes.
We're not saying, Jesus, you know, that's a pretty dumb question, Jesus. Of course I believe in you. He wants to know, right? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. When she said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the teacher is here and calling for you. Listen, verse 20 is a classic example from Martha of a person hearing about Jesus, not holding back, but coming to meet him. Jesus is coming. Here I go. I'm up, out the door. I'm looking for Jesus. Also a classic example, right, of Mary, a person hearing about Jesus, but not coming and holding back. I'm fine right here at home. I'm good. Just an example, right? Verse 21, another way to put verse 21. Lord, if this person I have been praying for would have accepted you, they would not have died. How much clearer can we make that point to people? Again, when we tell the story about Jesus and everything he's done, how much clearer can we do that? And Jesus goes on to explain how we can pray for people. Lord, show this person that you are the true and living God. Show this person that true life is only found in you. Belief is only found in you. Prayers for spiritual enlightenment to get out of the tomb only comes from you. You know, Jesus will encourage us and urge our spirits to pray for people. That's what he wants, right? All boils down again to love. Pray for these people. I don't want to lose anyone. We don't want to see anybody lost. We want people to know who Jesus Christ is. Now look at the end of verse 28. The teacher is calling for you. Exactly what we've been talking about. Let people know God is calling them, continually knocking and calling and seeking. The teacher is calling. He's calling for you, right? God will touch people's hearts, but again, he'll never force himself on them. People need to come willingly. And we hope that those who we're praying for really pay attention to verse 29. It says, when she or anyone heard it, she or anyone got up quickly and was coming to him. We pray that those who we care about and finally hear him calling, they don't just get up. They get up quickly. They jump up. They jump up and run to Jesus. You know, when Jesus was walking down the road somewhere, going to some town somewhere, Jericho, I think it was, and there was a blind beggar on the side of the road, and he was crying out, Jesus, Jesus, have mercy on me. And the people were like, shut up. Can't you see this is God walking by? Jesus, he shouted even louder. Jesus stopped, heard that call. He stopped, and he said, tell him to come here. And the people said, He's calling for you. The teacher is calling for you. What did the man do? And the Bible tells us what he did. He jumped up, he threw his cloak off, and he ran to Jesus Christ because he was calling him. That's the kind of people we want. That's the kind of people God wants to see. You know, listen, when Paul was relating the story of his conversion from Acts chapter 9, he was relating it to the council. He said this in Acts 22, 16. Ananias said to him, "Why do you delay? Get up, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on his name." It's the same question we ask ourselves when we're praying for people. Why are they delaying? What are they waiting for? Jesus is coming. He is coming. We have that assurance and we have that promise. I wish everybody could see that and recognize that this place is temporary. Jesus is coming. He's coming. Okay, back to John. John chapter 11. Jump down to verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. So the Jews were saying, "See how he loved him." Wow. I mentioned before, when God hears our prayer, God does hear our prayers on behalf of others. When he sees us weeping for them, right? It troubles him. It troubles him. And not only troubles him, he weeps right along with us because he does not want to lose anyone, right? Deeply moved in the spirit and was troubled. Amazing. John 11, 38 and 39. So Jesus, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and the stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Remove the stone. That's what he's telling people to do. Remove the stone. Last week, I quoted a verse from Ezekiel, and it fits perfectly here. Ezekiel 11, 19. God said, "I will give them one heart and put a new spirit within them. I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." Again, as we pray for others, Jesus comes in the tomb they're in. He calls to them saying, "Look, remove the stone that's holding you back from me. Get that stone out of the way." And you know what, Jesus, all he has to see is a little crack in that stone. That's all he has to see. Then the Holy Spirit starts working. He starts urging. Never will he force himself, but he'll start urging. The Holy Spirit speaks with a loud voice. Jesus speaks with a loud voice. Listen to John 11, 43. When he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." Put somebody else's name in there that you're praying for. Blank, come forth. Get that stone out of the way. Get it out of the way. This is what God and we also have prayed. We want to see this in verse 44. The man who had died came forth bound, hand and foot with wrappings. His face was wrapped around with a cloth. Jesus said to him, "Unbind him and let him go." You know, no one ever came to Jesus Christ as a perfect person. Except for me. You believe that? I have a bridge for sale too. No one ever came to Jesus a perfect person, right? We're still in the bondage of sin before we come to him and get to know him. But when people respond to that urging, Jesus says to the enemy, gets right in the devil's face and said, "Unbind him and let him go." Wow. Satan has, he has no choice but to back off. Not only to back off, but to run away. What does James tell us? Resist him and he'll flee. When Jesus Christ himself says, "Unbind him and let him go," he has no choice but to flee and unbind him and let him go. Freedom in Jesus Christ, God wants to see it, so do we. We want to see all people's freedom in Jesus. I want to end here by relating another short biblical story. It's an example I've used a bunch of times, but it fits perfectly here, and it's also from the book of John. Pick up in John 20 and verse 3. So Peter and the other disciple went forth. The other disciple, of course, is John. right? They were going to the tomb. The two were running together. The other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him and entered the tomb. And when he saw the linen wrappings lying there and the face cloth which had been on his head not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself, so the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw and believed. The scenario right here, two people are running towards Jesus, right? One gets right to the door, right there, okay? And the other one just flies right by. I want Jesus Christ. Shoots right into that tomb. I want to know Jesus Christ. He died for me. I want to know about his cross. Shoots right in there. When that person that's standing on the outside sees the joy that that person is experiencing, I want that. And what do? They go right in the tomb. They enter and they find that joy, right? They find that joy. Awesome. Guys, we have to teach people to listen for Jesus who is still calling, remove the stone, come forth. And he's saying it to everybody. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, how amazing the story of Jesus Christ and all he's done, all he's willing to do, how he heals people, how he reaches out and seeks people, constantly seeking, constantly knocking. You are not a God that sits still. You are a God that seeks and works. And what Jesus Christ said, he tells us, he promised us, the Father is working and I am working. Constantly calling, constantly seeking, constantly wanting us. Pray, Father God, that we have the power and the boldness to tell the story about Jesus Christ. Tell people that, listen, this place is only temporary. There's so much more. Get your face out of the world. Get it focused on Jesus because there's so much more. And there's so much more better to come. We're so blessed and so thankful, Father God, for everything that he's done for us and everything, Father God, according to your grace. It's always in his name we pray. Amen. If there's anything we need to do for anyone, we can offer prayers for them. Whatever you need to get closer to Jesus, come as we stand and sing.